You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our very special guest tonight, Mr. John McTernan. Folks, visit usaprophecy.com. Visit usaprophecy.com. Bookmark that website. From there, all sorts of great information and great links. That's usaprophecy.com. Our guest tonight, John McTernan. And you know what? His book, what an amazing read as well. And I love books. Can you tell, folks? I mean, I'm talking about books all of the time. But in order for us to really understand where we're at, you can't depend on one radio show or two. You can't really depend on a headline on Drudge or a headline on whatever your favorite news site is. You've got to dig deep. And what John McTernan has put together with As America Has Done to Israel, step by step, point by point, now he's a lawyer by profession, okay? John McTernan, he's an attorney. So he approaches it, his writing, I mean, it resonates with me. It's a very good book, As America Has Done to Israel. Go to usaprophecy.com. Before I get back to John, I just want to mention to everyone in our listening audience, you know, I have just such a great night's sleep now because I've got a Casper mattress. Casper is a sleep brand that created one perfect mattress sold directly to consumers, eliminating commission-driven inflated prices. That's right. It's an award-winning sleep surface. It was developed in-house. It's got a very sleek design, and it is delivered in a small, hey, how did they do that, sized box. Now, in addition to the mattress, Casper also offers an adaptive pillow. Oh, and soft, breathable sheets. It makes me want to climb right in, right on top of my Casper mattress, put my head on their pillow, and cover myself with their breathable sheets. You know, the mattress industry has forced consumers into paying really high markups. I mean, go to a store and look at them. Goodness, Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms. No more. You don't have to do that. And they pass the savings directly to you, the consumer. Now, you know, we don't promote, endorse, talk about anything we don't use ourselves or believe in. This is something we do. The quality. An in-house team of engineers spent thousands of hours developing the Casper. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foams for a sleep surface that's got just the right sink and just the right bounce. Plus, its breathable design sleeps cool to help you regulate your temperature all throughout the night. Mattresses can often, you know, go price them. They can cost well over $1,500, but Casper mattresses cost $500 for a twin size. That's right, $500. And for a king, $950. In between, well, $850 for a queen, $600 for a twin XL, if you have one of those. And again, $500 for a twin size. You can't beat the price. The convenience as well. You can't beat the convenience. Buying a Casper mattress is completely risk-free. They offer free delivery. That's right, Casper offers free delivery and free returns with a 100-night home trial. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress that before you commit, especially considering you're going to spend a third, think about that, a third of your life on it. Folks, the Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foams to create this award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink, just the right bounce. Again, thinking about it makes me want to just crawl right in. Time Magazine, did you see it? They named it one of the best inventions of 2015. In fact, it's now the most awarded mattress of the decade. Free shipping and returns to U.S. and Canada. Try Casper for 100 nights, risk-free, in your own home. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. It's made in America, folks. That's the best part, too. Go to casper.com/CFP radio. Okay? Now look. Read the offers. Read the $50 toward any mattress purchase offer to Hagman and Hagman listeners. Go to caspermattress.com/CFP radio. Again, casper.com/CFP radio. That is casper.com/CFP radio. And use our promo code CFP radio. They really make it easy for you, don't they? Casper.com/CFP radio, our promo code CFP radio. Now, terms and conditions do apply, but folks, try it. Give it a try. We like it. We use it. It's in our house. That's Casper.com/CFP radio, promo code CFP radio. John McTernan is just a fabulous guy.
Now, he's a radio show host and author. His book, his latest book, As Israel. Or I'm sorry, As America Has Done to Israel.
Yeah.
And folks, check out his website, usaprophecy.com. On there, he's got a number of things you can do. You can check out his radio show. You can go to a section called Bible Teachings, which is very insightful and a great tool for different Bible teachings. He's got his bookstore, as well as contacting John, and let him know you heard him on the Hagman and Hagman Report, if you like what you heard. And we're going to get into, in this hour with John, the situation in the Middle East. And the prophetic implications, as well as the secular implications, and what we see in with the Arab Spring and the complete destabilization of the Middle East through the Western policy. Let's start with Syria, John.
Yeah, hang on. I just got to make a correction here. You said I was an attorney.
Doug? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yes, no. I was a federal agent.
I'm sorry. See, pretty soon my wife's going to have to take me up back and just put me on my misery, shoot me, because what's wrong with me? You know, I'm looking at the book. During the break, I'm looking at the book, and it's just not good. From my eyes and my brain, it's not right. Yeah, sorry, you were a federal agent.
Yeah, I was a federal agent for 26 years.
Yeah, actually, and, during the break, we were talking about attorneys, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, also, I thank you for mentioning my website. I'd like the listeners to, like them to know that I have a blog. It's called, I have four blogs. The main one is John McTernan's Insights, and in it, I keep them virtually daily on the cutting edge of what's going on prophetically and some other, what's going on here in America, but really key information. So if they want to get a handle, especially on the Middle East, you could follow my blog. You mentioned Syria. Syria is, it's impossible to follow. It is so convoluted. It is such a disaster. I follow it all the time, and I still am not sure what's going on there. Now, picture this. Doug, were you aware last week that there was a sort of friendly dogfight over Syria with U.S. jets and Russian jets?
Yes. Yes. And we we haven't had much time since that occurred to talk about this, but yes, and you know what, John? We had told people, federal agent John, former federal, okay, not attorney. We had told people since day one, when the whole Syrian debacle began, that we would be facing, that the U.S. would be facing and battling Russian troops. We were doing it by proxy years ago, and now we're doing it more blatantly, head to head. And people laughed back then. Now maybe they're paying more attention. But yeah, explain. Go ahead, John. Explain
well, there's
that.
There's various factions in there. There's Al Qaeda, who's fighting the Syrian government. There's ISIS, that's fighting the Syrian government. But yet they will fight each other. ISIS and Al Qaeda will fight. Then they have what they call like the Free Syrian Army, and they're backed by us, and they're fighting the Syrian government. But the Russians and the Iranians and Hezbollah are backing the Syrian government. So the Russians are bombing positions of fighters that we're supporting. And we want to overthrow Assad. Now, this is bizarre. I mean, we overthrew Saddam Hussein, and what happened? Chaos. Al-Qaeda and, I mean, ISIS grew out of this. Hillary Clinton's baby was getting rid of Muammar Gaddafi, and what happened to Libya? So now they want to do the same thing with Syria. Now, I'm not saying Assad's a good guy or anything like that, but if Assad's brought down, it's going to become chaos, and a group like ISIS is going to take over. Do you follow me on this, Doug?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, how stupid can we be? And I know Assad's done terrible things. And his old man attacked that that village there years back, I guess probably about 30 years ago now, wiped them all out. Saddam Hussein did with the Kurds. Bashar Assad, his father, I can't think of the father's name right. It was Assad, his last name. They did the same thing. So Assad wants to destroy Israel. Every terrorist group in the Middle East at one time was headquartered in Damascus. Damascus was like, you know, the central headquarters for every terrorist group. Right. He's a bad guy. But, you know, so Gaddafi was a bad guy. Hussein was a bad guy. But when you got rid of him, look what happened.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
our policy is insane.
Hafez was his dad. Yeah. Go ahead. All right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Saddam Hussein. So now we had a dogfight over Syria with our jets trying to block the Russian jets from attacking the rebels who we are supporting. That's getting real close to World War III, Doug. I mean,
yep.
This gets into some sort of a shootout or planes collide and all. You've got right now. The Russian military is set and ready to go. All they got to do is pull the trigger. Putin's been working for about 2 years now, making the... first of all, under the radar, they rebuilt the Russian military. You know, it collapsed there in the late 80s and early 90s, He streamlined it. He's got a lean, mean fighting machine. They've got good equipment, good tanks. The Navy is good, small. It's somewhat small, but it's a lean, mean fighting machine, and it's pointing right at the Ukraine, Poland, and Lithuania, Estonia, and Latvia. He's ready to go. His army, in effect, is mobilized, ready to go. NATO now, in response, is doing the same thing. They're having all these war games and all. And the war games are like almost on the Russian border.
Right.
In Poland. They're happening right now as we speak. Putin says that he's not backing down. And their doctrine is to use tactical nuclear weapons.
Oh, yeah.
This is frightening. This is frightening. And we're provoking him in Syria. It's so, like I said, it's so convoluted, so complicated that anything could trigger this. Turkey, you know, last year shot down that Russian plane, which Putin has not forgotten. He's not forgotten it. There's been some dogfights between the Israeli planes and the Russian planes, and Israel told the world that Hezbollah troops or Iranian troops on the Golan Heights will not be tolerated. Israel will move to obliterate them. Now, to make this more complicated, Hezbollah is Shiite. They're located in southern Lebanon. They were put in there by Ayatollah Khomeini in late 1970s when he came to power, specifically to have a front against Israel. Saddam, Bashar Assad is his religion is a splinter group from Shiite Islam, so he's connected with the Shiites. And then, of course, you have Iran, who is Shiites. Turkey is Sunni. Saudi Arabia is Sunni. And right now, the battleground between them is in Iraq. The Shiite militia is fighting the Sunni army, and the Shiites are backed by Iranian generals. And this is the frightening thing about this. Iran wants to have a trans-Middle East empire. They want to sort of reestablish the Persian Empire. And at the same time, Turkey wants to establish or reestablish the Ottoman Empire. You've got these empires here, these budding empires butting up against each other.
Right.
So what Iran wants to do is Iran wants to take over northern Iraq, and then they would have a access directly into Syria, and then from Syria directly into Lebanon to the Mediterranean. That's what they want to do. And what's blocking them now is ISIS in Iraq. Isn't that amazing? ISIS is, in this sense, is kind of like doing us a favor right now. That's how convoluted it is there. Because what happens is if Iran wins, and if the Iranian militia that are the officers are like Iranian generals there, if they win, it will be probably all-out war with Israel, because Israel cannot allow the Iranian army to have free access to Syria and then build up, mobilize and build up and be ready to attack Israel. They can't allow it. Saudi Arabia can't allow it. Turkey can't allow it. So right now, when you hear fighting taking place in northern Iraq, and the Iraqi army is moving ISIS out of this area, well, right next to them is the Iranian, the Shiite militia, which are manned by Iranian generals. If they win, I think very shortly after it, we're going to see a horrific war in the Middle East. I mean, horrific.
You know, John, I've said from the beginning, World War III is going to start in Syria. World War III will start in Syria, not anywhere else, but in Syria, and it's going to pit the United States / NATO against Russia, and eventually involve, I believe, China, because China has economic and other interests in Syria as well. Russia has military interests in Syria and economic interests in Syria, with Syria. Iran, of course, is a proxy of Russia. The bedfellows that exist in the Middle East are, yes, you're convoluted. You're right.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you, except with a little different twist on it. There is no doubt that the war could start in Syria, no doubt. But that's not Putin's strong point. Putin's strong point is Europe. His army is ready to go. He doesn't have a large army in Syria. You know, Turkey could, the Turkish army probably could best him in Syria. The Turkish army is well trained. It's a NATO army. They're pretty good. They could just overwhelm the Russians. But Putin's ready to go in Europe. That's where he wants to go.
Which we saw. I mean, asymmetrical warfare. We are playing, they're playing chess, we're playing checkers, asymmetrical warfare. The tripwire could be in Syria, which I'm stating. But just like Benghazi, for example, we were funneling, and I believe this, and I think we've made the case for it, funneling weapons and people up to Syria via Turkey from Libya. And Benghazi in particular, which was never a consulate, by the way, but ultimately that was to benefit the fighters against Assad in Syria. Well, where was the strike? It was in Benghazi at the center, but it was over Syria, and the terrorist organizations in Benghazi were proxies of the Russians. So it kind of like an asymmetrical response to the funding and funneling of weapons to Syria.
I'm saying, how convoluted this is.
Right.
And by the way, John, now, on top of all this, what's happened is because of Iran and the deal Obama made allowing Iran to build nuclear weapons, and it is, Iran will be able, at the end, will be able to have nuclear weapons. But Bill Clinton made the same deal with North Korea, and in the middle of the deal, they set off a nuclear bomb. So do you think Iran is going to, you know, hold to their end? No, they're not going to hold to their end of the bargain. What they did was they wanted to get those $150 billion loosed that we were holding, and they wanted to get the oil on the market. So, because their economy was collapsing. So what will happen is, right now, Israel, and this again, like about 5 years ago, the idea of Israel in league with Saudi Arabia, in league with the United Arab Emirates, in league with Kuwait, you know, would be unthinkable. But because of Obama and what he's done, destabilizing the Middle East, Saudi Arabia is looking for, hey, sooner or later, we're going to be in war with the Shiites, with Iran. And we need Israel. So right now, Israel is in developing. It's not bold out in the open, but they've acknowledged it. Saudi Arabia's acknowledged it, and Israel's acknowledged it, that they're in negotiations for partnership. So if Israel's going to attack Iran, it'll need Saudi Arabian airspace and all. So we can see this whole Middle East is being destabilized, and it's Obama and Hillary Clinton that did it. And on top of it, again, this is off the radar screen, but in Yemen, there's a civil war going on between the Shiites and the Sunnis, which is south of Saudi Arabia. So north of Saudi Arabia, you've got the war going on between ISIS and the Shiites. There, and then south of Saudi Arabia, you got the war going on with the Sunni and the Shiites again. So it's very volatile. I agree with you that Syria could very well be the trigger of World War III, but it won't be the main battle. The main battle will be in Eastern Europe heading west.
John, stemming from Syria to the rest of the Middle East, do you see this as just the Middle Eastern regional destabilization, or as you were alluding to earlier with Putin and his eyes on Europe, and Erdogan from Turkey and China sitting off there in the Pacific and building up, you know, their islands, the disputed territories? Do you see the destabilization keeping to the Middle Eastern region, or do you see it spreading across the globe, leading into America? The upcoming 2016 elections, never have we seen such contention with the nominees for president, both Democratic and Republican. And not only that, we have a Republican establishment that is going after its own nominee and, you know, having, you know, people in the GOP coming out and stating they're going to vote for Hillary. You have the George Soros funding people, you know, I'll call them hellraisers, because they're not protesters, to go to these Trump events and start this trouble and chaos. You have, you know, $50 million grant to Cleveland through the DHS preparing riot gear for the RNC, like they're expecting something terrible to happen. Do you see the destabilization staying to the Middle East, or do you see it spread?
Oh, I see it spread. Here's what I see happening. I see World War III, and it's going to be on such a magnitude that people are going to think that it's Armageddon, because it'll most likely start in the Middle East, and certainly it's going to end up in a horrific war involving Israel, because I think there's a civil war coming in Islam between the Shiites and the Sunnis for the control of Islam. And I believe the Sunnis are going to win. Now, it may not, but it doesn't matter. Whoever is going to win, is they all hate Israel, whether they're Shiites or Sunnis. Are they going to form a caliphate in an attempt to destroy Israel and take Jerusalem? That's their dream. They dream this, to destroy Israel, kill all the Jews, and take Jerusalem. Whether you're Sunnis or Shiites, that's what they dream. So there's going to be horrific war in the Middle East. It's going to end up nuclear. I believe Israel is going to use, as a last-ditch effort, they're going to have to use nuclear weapons. All of Islam will be at war. You watch Pakistan and India break out in war. You'll see war in Africa. Wherever Islam is, there's going to be war. This is going to be a general uprising of the Muslims. And definitely you're going to see China move. I mean, China, as far as I've been studying, there is no way that we could defeat China. There's no way. China, the weapons that they have now, China is like a fortress. And yeah, they have these coastal shore batteries of missiles. Short range, medium, long range. They have intercontinental ballistic missiles. They can reach us. Now they have the nuclear submarines. They're loosening their nuclear submarines this year. They have special missiles that take out our aircraft carriers. Super sonic, like four times the speed of sound. Can't be detected. They fly 5 feet over the ocean, and one shot and the carrier is gone. China, I believe China is going to win in this war in Asia. Japan's going to fall, the Philippines, all of Asia will fall, all of Asia. And that is the China, they're going to be unified under China, and that's from Revelation chapter 9 and 16 about the kings from the east coming with a 200 million man army. That's all going to be triggered from this war. This war coming is not Armageddon. Many people think it's going to be Armageddon. The ruler, or the one that rises to the top after this war and brings things under control, he's going to suggest a one-world economy. He's going to promote a one-world religion, because religion caused this previous war and all this havoc. We need a one-world religion. He's going to be viewed as a savior, and he's none other than what the Bible calls the Antichrist. So my belief is that this war is going to destabilize the world. And everything we see, Doug, like the New World Order and all this technology they have in there, and they're promoting the one world religion and the one world government, this war that's coming will trigger all of that to come to pass.
Given the geopolitical environment, the layout of the land, John, And folks, John McTernan is our guest, usaprophecies.com. His book, As America Has Done to Israel. Grab a hold of that book. A lot of great information. Okay. Can you see this? I mean, I'm not asking you for a date and a time, but I guess how in your investigative analysis, especially given your history and excellent qualities as an investigator, and I so apologize for saying attorney before.
That's okay.
Again, we were talking about attorneys during the break, and do you see this taking place, given our domestic political situation? Do you see this taking place before? Could it take place before the elections of 2016, the big elections, or wouldn't it matter? I mean.
My big concern, and I still have this concern, that Obama is going, something's going to happen where Obama's going to declare martial law and suspend the election. That's what I'm concerned with. Things are so volatile out there, you know. And
do you think, okay, again, given your background and experience, man, I got to ask this. I got so many questions. Do you think, because here's what I'm seeing right now. I'm seeing a very unsafe environment for Donald Trump. Now, regardless of what you think of the guy, it doesn't matter. But, man, taking him out, I don't know, maybe it wouldn't be a big deal. They could throw Cruz as they want or whoever, someone else in there. But I would see a constitutional crisis forming if they took out Donald Trump or if something happened to Trump. I look at what happened with that guy from the UK who was in the country illegally here and was caught with a gun. Or, I'm sorry, caught trying to take a gun from that
police officer.
Security guard.
He had been stalking.
Yeah.
He had been stalking Trump.
For a year. Man, so anyway, I don't know. Do you see something like this? I mean, could this be a trigger domestically for you know, police action / martial law?
Well, we're being destabilized. It's, if you look at America before the Civil War, there was no neutral ground. I mean, the country was completely polarized, basically over slavery. And now I see it the same way. I have nothing in common with what I call a hard left. Nothing. Absolutely zero. They're a foreign entity as far as I'm concerned. And they hate and despise us. So it wouldn't take much to rip the country right in two for armed civil war. Seriously, you can see it out there. It's brewing. We have, I'm sure you know the economic situation. This is another delusion. You know, the economic situation is really, it's all built on this house of cards of debt. that's what's holding the whole thing together is debt. And who knows, Japan going under, all of a sudden there's a huge crisis in China. It could suck the whole world into a economic meltdown, and we could end up like Venezuela. So, of course, war. The war could happen tomorrow. There could be something sparked there in Syria like you talked about. I mean, our jets are in the air. The Russian jets are in the air. I believe the French jets are in the air. The British jets are in the air. We're supposed to be bombing Al-Qaeda and arming the rebels while Putin is protecting Assad. And he's attacking the rebels who we're supporting, and I think he's bombed ISIS too a couple times. So it's really a dangerous situation. Which they just had that dogfight last week there. So anything could trigger it and destabilize the country, Doug.
Absolutely, John. We got you for about another 6 minutes or so.
Yeah, and John's got his own radio program.
Yeah, John, can you tell people where they can hear you, where and when they can hear you?
Oh, well, it kind of interferes with you guys.
That's okay. All right. We can take it.
You can take it. It's you can go to usaprophecy.com, my website, and you'll see the radio show there. You know, you can just click on it. It's from 9 to 11. Sunday through Thursday. And what it is, though, it's not a show like yours here. It's more prayer. I felt that there was so many people, well, not so many, people wanted to pray, and no one's praying. No church, there's no leadership. There's so few preachers that are calling their people to pray. So it's basically, except for tonight, music and testimony time. But basically, especially Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday are prayer. We have 2 hours of prayer. And incredible answers have been taking place as we prayed. And my ministry has opened up in India and Pakistan and Kenya, and thousands of Muslims have been coming to the Lord, and Hindus, and It's just exciting, and I attribute it to all the prayer that we've been doing. So it's a different show than yours.
And you know, people are hungry for that, John. And I'm being very serious. Listeners to this program, if this is what you, if that's what you're looking for, I highly recommend tuning into John McTernan, his radio program. It doesn't matter. I mean, go, you know, if it interferes with ours, different kind of program, prayer. People are hungry for that. People are looking for that. There you go.
Yeah, that's why I did it, because people were really asking me, would you please start like a radio show? Would you start so that we can interact? And I have, you know, we have contact with people. People from Pakistan call in, and people from Kenya, India call in. So it's exciting. But God, you see, God is working. If we look in America, there is a deadness. We see a political deadness. We see I call it spiritual. People are spiritually anesthetized. But there's a hunger for God in India, and believe it or not, in Pakistan, pockets of Pakistan, and in East Africa. So I enjoy working with these pastors. You don't have to pull teeth with them. They want to pray with you. I just to give you one example, then I want to get back to what we're talking about. I'm working with a bishop from India. He has 1,500 churches under him. And he called me late last week. It was probably Friday last week. He said, we have a all-night prayer and fasting meeting going on. We have 700 people here, and I want you to... Now, this is over the telephone. And he said, I want you to join us. Please lead us in prayer, and I'll translate it. So here I am sitting at my home in Pennsylvania, and I'm praying live with 700 people in India, crying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and crying for a move of God and to win souls. So I prayed, and they translated it, and that's the things that are going on in my ministry right now.
You know, God bless you for doing that. Isn't it great, the Internet being the equalizer, not just the equalizer, I suppose, of the media or against the media, but being able to use the Internet and communications of today to reach people in every part of the planet that has, well, you know, where you can plug something in, I guess. But
well, yeah,
it's marvelous.
Yeah, because, of course, the Internet, it's got all the evil you could think of it on it. I mean, ISIS can go on it and recruit and all. But we're using it for good. And I'm hooked up live every day. I'm talking to pastors in Uganda and Tanzania and Kenya, and we're praying in India. It is exciting. It is really exciting.
That's fantastic. And again, John McTernan, his website, usaprophecy.com. Pause unintentional. usaprophecy.com. His book. Folks, grab his book. I mean, if you want to read about Israel being certainly being the should I say omen? I don't. God's timepiece, at least, as America has done to Israel. His book. Grab a hold of that. It's a best-selling book that connects natural and financial disasters to America with our treatment of God's Israel. I mean. So I also
show the blessings in the book, Doug. I do show the blessings as we've blessed Israel, that great blessings have come upon America. So the book is balanced. I show blessings and then interfere with God's prophetic plan, what happens.
You know, John, I know we only have 2 minutes of your time left, and you've been so gracious with your time tonight, but let me ask you, for people who will say, no, wait a second, Israel is kind of, the nation state of Israel today is a creation of the Rothschilds. That might be true. Okay, invariably, you're going to have anti-Semitism creep in because of that statement. How do you deal with that, for example, that, well, that's truly not God's people, according to the Bible, in the nation state of Israel as it exists today, technically, you know? I mean, how do you deal with that?
Well, first of all, God made an everlasting covenant with the Jewish people. And it's he made it with their, you'll see it in Genesis on several occasions. It's over the land. Then you read the Old Testament. God warned the Jews that if they didn't follow the law, they were going to be driven from the land. That was one of the punishments. But the same prophet said, we're going to bring you back into the land. And because of that covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, I've got Ezekiel 36 open before me right here. And it just to paraphrase it, God says that I drove you into the nations because of your sin, but because of my holy name's sake, I'm going to bring you back, and then I'm going to give you a new heart. So they're coming back in unbelief. It's crystal clear. You go back to Zechariah chapter 12, and it talks about the battle over Jerusalem, and the war, all the world being drawn into Jerusalem. And then it says, I will pour out my spirit upon the house of David upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. And they shall be in bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn. So everything we see happening out there is to fill God's prophetic plan, fulfill it, where Paul wrote in Romans chapter 11, all Israel shall be saved. So God is working his plan out, his prophetic plan. Right now, salvation is in the church. That's where it is. Jew and Gentile can come to Christ. But the day is coming when he's going to deal with Israel like he did in the Old Testament. And then Christ is coming and going to set up his millennial reign. So this is all part of God's prophetic plan. Yeah, Israel is in unbelief now, but the Bible says that's the way God's going to bring them back.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I often, yeah. I mean, the armies of the world will be gathered together against Jerusalem, and it looks like Israel will have a siege laid upon it, and that's when God steps in and destroys the enemy, and shows the people of Israel who their Savior is.
Yeah, and they're going to be mourning and crying and in bitterness, realizing they missed the Lord as their Messiah all those years.
Mm-hmm.
Millennia, two millennia. So,
not too far
and then God warns in his word regarding Israel, do not interfere with Israel. Do not interfere with my prophetic plan for Israel. I lay this all out in the book. And so what does the United States do under George Bush Sr., October 30th, 1991? George Bush Sr. puts the United States right in the middle, like a roadblock, with God's prophetic plan for Israel. Dividing Jerusalem, creating a Palestinian state. And since that time, horrific. You know, we've had natural disasters in the past. They were few and far between. Starting in 1991, it jumped to like 3 a year, then 5 a year. And the big disasters they're gauged at $1 billion or more destruction. Like, and then 1 year was it 2012, 2013 maybe? We had 13 major disasters in 1 year, and virtually all of them, we were doing something to Israel at that time. Some of them I couldn't gauge because there were droughts that were destroying crops and things like that. So we've had a great increase in natural disasters in the last 24 years. And in my book, I'm showing how this hurricane hits and Arafat lands in Washington to meet and to divide Israel, and a hurricane hits the same day. The stock market crashes the same day. You know, George Bush Jr. is promoting Israel to pull out of Gaza, and Hurricane Katrina hits that very day. And Bill Clinton is pressuring Israel to give up the Golan Heights with Arafat. That was his name, Arafat Assad. And the Northridge earthquake hits that very day. And then the Madrid peace process is moved from Madrid, Spain, to Washington. On that very day, Hurricane Andrew slams into Florida, and then George Bush initiates the Mideast peace process October 30th, 1991. The perfect storm hits while he is that day, he's in Madrid with the speech to divide Israel. The perfect storm throws 30-foot waves against his home in Kennebunkport, Maine, and destroys it. He has to come back from Madrid, Spain, to rebuild his home in Kennebunkport, Maine. And these are all same-day events. So I've documented dozens in the book, and then I've got way more than are in the book. Probably have 60 or 70 now, same-day events. I call them same-day events. So God is like warning. He's like using nature, warning America, back off, back off. He's trying to stop us, but most people think, well, God doesn't judge. That's not God. No, God wouldn't do that. God doesn't judge. And because of that, they can't see what's happening.
Amen, Mr. McTiernan. We want to thank you for your time.
Okay,
with us tonight,
yeah, I've got to go and fire up my Oh, tonight's a music night. Tonight's the music night for the show. So I appreciate it. Thank you, and God bless you and all your listeners. And let's stay in touch.
Absolutely.
Indeed. All right, sir. Thank you, John. God
Have
bless.
A good show.
God bless.
Folks, that was John McTiernan. Of course, his website, USAProphecy.com, the book, and I'm looking at it right here, of course, As America Has Done to Israel. Super read, fantastic read. Now, at the top of the hour, we're going to be talking about bug out bags. What does yours contain? Do you have a bug out bag? Do you carry it around like the nuclear football? Do you have it by your door?
Have bug spray.
Yeah. Bug spray, right? Now, we're going to be talking about that because it's important. And I'm going to tell you, as we get into the times, as we get further down toward the event horizon, we better make sure that we, you know, are prepared. And of course, you know, spiritual preparation is indeed important, but we need to prepare. Before moving on, I want to just mention WholeTonesLive.com. You know, I've been hearing from more and more people about WholeTonesLive.com. And of course, what I was talking about earlier, I got a letter, a physical letter from somebody in the mail. And I'm not going to use her name. I'm just going to use her first name, Lisa. And listen to this, because this probably gives the case for Whole Tones Live more than I could ever do. She writes this. First of all, she says, I want to share with you just what your program has done for me. I've listened to you guys for several years now. I love Pastor Langford and Steve Quayle and other guests. But a few months ago, you had Michael Turrell on your program from Whole Tones. Well, let me tell you what happened. I pulled up some samples at work. Now, understand, I teach a special education, and the ones I have, they do not have a very bad disability in reading math. Most of all, they have behavior issues. Okay? This is what she writes to us. She's got 6th and 7th graders. And she writes, in the evening, I just have the boys. Wow. That's her. Wow, not mine. Well, she writes, I started playing The Open Door, where that music from Whole Tones, where I had chaos before, nothing now but calmness and peace. Even the students remarked on how peaceful my room is now. So I ordered the package and I downloaded it at home and at school. Students that wanted to fight each other or were just plain lazy, guess what? Those behaviors simply vanished. Now, this is from a special education teacher. It's a real letter. Here it is. So, Whole Tones Live, folks, WholeTonesLive.com. If you have been feeling overwhelmed, like life is running you instead of you having control over your life, if you're having trouble sleeping, if you're suffering from whatever malady you might be suffering from, mental fatigue, man, that's a big one. Or if you need motivation, go to WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. This is music is the universal language of mankind, and Michael Turrell Lisa from who sent this letter about Whole Tones had said, music affects behavior. But the thing about WholeTonesLive.com is you can download different, you can purchase the packages, download different frequencies. And these are frequencies and music assemblies, creations by Michael Terrell, who created Whole Tones for, discovered and created Whole Tones using the Bible, the music of King David. This is all biblically sound. But it's just so important that we infuse our lives with everything possible to help us, to calm us or to motivate us or whatever the need might be. Well, here's your answer. WholeTonesLive.com. Now, we play it here at our studios. We play it in our offices. And it does. It increases creativity. It, depending on the selection we have, it might calm us if we're disturbed. But it works. And I know my wife uses it to assist her sleeping, falling asleep, and it works. And our studio dog loves it too. It does affect animals too. You know what? If you've got a good experience with Whole Tones Live, go ahead and let us know. Or even better, let Michael Terrell know and let him know where you heard it. Heard about WholeTonesLive.com. But folks, go to WholeTonesLive.com right now, today, tonight. That's WholeTonesLive.com. Download a free sample and then go ahead and order your package. That's WholeTonesLive.com. W-H-O-L-E, TonesLive.com. Again, W-H-O-L-E, as in whole, WholeTonesLive.com. And we want to thank Michael Terrell for being a previous guest in our program and really explaining his product to us because, man, it works, and not only does it work, it's been a blessing to us. That's WholeTonesLive.com.
We got a few minutes before the top of the hour break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the owner of American Survival Wholesale, Chance, to talk about Bug Out Bags.
Yeah.
I want to hit a quick article before we...
I really want to just say how important these training sessions are to me. I have a checklist. Or in fact, I'm at the ready. So when he comes on, I'm going to make sure. And folks, grab a pen and paper. Let's use this as a learning session to make sure that we've got the proper stuff in our bug out bags. And it's so easy to forget. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, just want to hit this one piece. What do you think of when you think of basic health service? What do you think? Checkups?
Band-aids.
Care, you know, for diseases, sicknesses, illnesses.
I don't know.
Obama administration forces California churches to pay for abortions.
What?
Churches in California are officially subject to an erroneous state regulation that requires them to pay for abortions thanks to a ruling by the Obama administration. The troubling situation began in 2014 when the California Department of Managed Health Care reclassified abortion as a basic health service under the Affordable Care Act, and ordered all insurance plans in the state to begin covering surgical abortions immediately. Even churches are not exempt from funding abortions.
Last October,
the churches filed a lawsuit, and it has been moving through the courts. They also asked the Obama administration to uphold the Weldon Amendment, federal law that protects conscious rights. But today, the HHS Office of Civil Rights released the results of its investigation into the California abortion mandate, stating it found no violation, and it's closing its investigation of the complaints without further action.
Interesting.
We can talk about more about this after Chance goes.
Wow.
But I just want people to know that. The Obama administration is forcing California churches to pay for abortions, obviously through tax money.
Right.
But they're also, it's a pretty in-detail article. Bottom line is Congress must not let this stand. This must be taken out of the hands of the Obama administration and the courts and given to the lawmakers to uphold the law as it is written in the Declaration of Independence and Constitution of the United States, where life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are the top tier, above all. They come before anything. Mm. And life is first.
I got an email from someone personally, actually, from Steve saying, you know, I say man up to the Christians, and he took me to task. Of course, it's interesting how people send emails If they don't like this show, then don't listen to it. I don't quite get it, but all of his emails have been pretty antagonistic, and he says, you know, why don't you ever talk about things like the Idaho situation? The reason I bring that up is because we did talk about it long before he sent that email. So much to talk. Well, I guess there's just so much to talk.
Listen to this: fisherman captures 3,000-pound great white shark in Great Lakes.
How does that happen?
We'll get
times
into
are right changing, there. Folks.
Global Star Radio Network.